Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure. As always, I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. You're going to be glad you stayed with us because Penelope Sungus is back. I'm sorry, Penelope Shugros is back with us. And she's got a name that's sort of like Blasingame, but it's a little bit different. And she's the author of Wealthy Choices. And she's a financial planner, financial expert, Dr. Penelope Shugros. Welcome back to the show.
I'm delighted to be with you on this fine day.
It's good to have you back. And, you know, your name starts with a T,
right?
And it reminds me of Sungus.
That's right. It is.
Remember
actually
Senator Sungus, which I liked that guy. Anyway, when I see your name, I want to say Sungus, even though I know it's Shugros. It's pronounced Shugros.
I agree with you, but it's the transliteration is the same. The T S
yeah.
and the T Z. That's how it comes out of Greek. Exactly.
Exactly. So today, Penelope, I should say a year ago or so. Let's say 2 years ago.
Right.
Americans had a negative 2% savings rate.
Yep.
Today, that number is positive 5%. That's a big swing, and that's one of the big reasons why our economy is where it is right now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's the good news and the bad news that people are thinking about holding on to their money. But, of course, the downside of that is that we need the economy to move and we need people to consume. So that is the negative side of the good side.
Right. Exactly. And so how do we balance that? I mean, we don't want to go back to the negative 2% because obviously, Penelope, negative 2% means that we're borrowing more than we're spending more than we have, than the money we have. And what's the best rate? I mean, what's the best happy medium there so that we don't starve the economy, but we actually don't spend more than we have?
I think the same thing happens for each of us that eventually has to happen with the government, which is that we have to have a cushion for ourselves. And certainly one of the things that history teaches us and this volatile market teaches us is that if you're going into retirement, either by force, by being laid off, or by choice, you need to think about how much money you have in actual cash, because we've always talked about having a safety net. And you do need at least 6 months, even more if you can manage it, of a safety net, of money to pay your bills in cash. Not that it's on the credit card, not that it's from your portfolio. So I think the answer is you have to do that per person and think about what is it that's going to keep you safe over that period of time.
Right.
And certainly if you can do that, hard, but if you can do that, that'll make the difference.
Mm-hmm. What have we learned from history, Penelope, about investing and saving?
Well, certainly one of the things we learned from history is there's a range of investments that we know that asset classes go from sort of this kind of low to that kind of high. It's trees don't grow to the sky, so things don't mm-hmm. go up forever.
Mm-hmm.
So we learned that. And we also have to understand that those patterns aren't predictive, but they do tell us about normalcy. So a six-year-old is a certain height if he's a healthy size. So that's what one of the things. Another is that history teaches us that underperformance of even the best money managers is normal. There's nothing odd about that. Chris Davis has a very interesting piece that he talks about. He's one of the managers and owners of the Davis Funds.
Right.
And he said that if you look at the study that was done of the top performing funds over 10 years, 98% of those had periods of 3 years when they were underperforming.
Mm-hmm.
But that's normal, and they still beat their benchmarks. So underperformance is nothing to be alarmed about. Money
right.
zigs and zags.
And well, go ahead.
If I read you this, you tell me when this was written. We meet in the midst of a nation brought to the verge of moral and political and material ruin. The people are demoralized. The newspapers are largely subsidized or muzzled. The fruits of toil of millions are boldly stolen to build up colossal fortunes for the few. When was that written?
Well, I probably know that it was written somewhere around the turn of the 20th century, but it sounds like now, doesn't it?
Yeah, 1892, the Populist Party indicting their times.
Yeah, it sounded like some union rhetoric is what it sounded like to me, but which would have been back in the Samuel Gompers era of the 1890s. but you're right. I mean, you could turn that into 21st century English, and it would sound like right now, wouldn't it?
That's right. Certainly the language gives it away, but the notion that millions, the work of the millions of employees is being stolen for the colossal fortunes of few.
Yeah.
You look at the $32 million bonuses that they're arguing about for the fellows so recently before the mergers, and you say, well, okay, there you are. History repeats itself.
One of the things, though, that's a little bit different, it seems to me, Penelope, and I'd like for get your thoughts on this. We've always been taught buy and hold. Don't be a trader. You know, if you're not if you don't know how to trade, don't be a trader. Be an investor. Buy and hold.
Yeah.
Up until the last 12 months, the Wall Street crowd had lots and lots of charts to show how over 10, 20, 30 years, the Dow always, you know, paid you a good return. Stocks always paid a better return. They can't use those numbers now, can they?
I think actually they can, and the reason I say that is if you look at a good portfolio, like what I was quoting before from Chris Davis, if you are invested in good quality, you're like a healthy person who gets a fever. That fever gets really bad, it seems dangerous, and then you recover because you were healthy going into it. So it was a good investment before you went into it. If you were an elderly, frail person, that fever may kill you. So the analogy that I'm making is to say if you were invested in good stuff, you'll be fine. We have, again, history teaches us this too, because if you look at the period of the 60s...
But Penelope, hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that in the next break, after the next break. But here's the thing, as we go out, in the last 10 years, right now, if you've been in the stock market in the last 10, and you started 10 years ago, you're probably under where you were 10 years ago.
Oh, yes.
And so that's the point I guess I'm making. And so when we come back, I want to ask you, going forward, after 2009, is there going to be a new investment paradigm for the average person? 20 after, Penelope Shugross is our guest. Dr. Penelope Shugross, the author of Wealthy Choices. We'll be back in a minute.
There must be some kind of way out of here.
I don't know if there's some kind of way out of here, folks, Buck, but we got to figure it out because we got to move forward. We got to move forward with our businesses, with the economy, with our lives. We got to try to secure and protect free market capitalism the best we can. That's the key to our futures, folks. That's the key to happiness and to prosperity for America. And I think Penelope Shugross agrees with me. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with Dr. Penelope Shugross. She's the author of Wealthy Choices. Let me spell her last name for you, folks, in case you want to Google her. That's T-Z-O-U-G-R-O-S, pronounced Shugross. Penelope, by the way, folks, my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you check that out when you get a chance. Penelope, give us your website and tell us how we can find you and your book.
Thank you. Wealthy Choices. It's the easier way than my name, wealthychoices.com.
Right. Yeah. With a name like Blassingame, I try to get other people's names correct, Penelope. All right, so I know that you spend a lot of time talking about history, and I think it is important, Penelope, to look at where we've been, what caused what happened before, and to learn from that. But the things that we're going through right now, many of them are unprecedented, and one of the reasons I say that is because as a result of what I consider to be unbelievable greed on steroids, incompetence and corruption, actually. We've had this scenario visited on us by really a small number of people, and it's created a global recession, and it was completely avoidable. What do you think?
Absolutely agree with you, but I think the only part of that, Jim, that I would say, well, not quite unprecedented. If you look at the robber barons and you look at those fellows, Morgan, Carnegie, Gould, Fisk, and the railroad fortunes, Oak Ames, who was a congressman from Massachusetts, he made shovels, but he was also director of the Union Pacific Railroad. Now, the railroads stood in those days in the same position that the credit people stood for us right now. Oak Ames got the government to pay $94 million in contracts for railroad work that only cost $44 million. Mm-hmm. And how did he do that? He corruptly gave President Grant's vice presidents and congresspeople shares of stock.
Yeah.
And then that led to the 1890 Depression.
But did that okay? That created the Depression. Well, so maybe it's not so unprecedented. But history. So what we have learned then is history does repeat itself. But back to my question before we went to the break. Let's say 2009 is a throwaway year. I'm starting to feel it more and more that 2009 is going to be a year that we all just want to forget. And so going forward, 2010 forward, what would be your advice on preparing to invest for the next decade?
I think actually it is a little bit more weighted for cash or fixed investments than it would have been before, especially for people in their 50s and older.
Isn't the cash thing, though, with inflation? Surely we're going to have inflation. High inflation after another couple of years or so, to last for maybe a few years. Isn't that dangerous to be so heavy in cash?
Right. It will be dangerous, except for the person who has to retire. And the reason I say 50s and older is if you're laid off and can't get work again, you need to at least have cash. Now, I certainly wouldn't put all of it in cash, but I would do a tranche of just plain cash. Then I would do something like fixed annuities. Then I would definitely have the equities in there because you need growth. Whether it's you're going to buy real estate, you need growth from someplace.
Right. But what about the metals, the gold and silver? What do you think about those?
I am not good on commodities, so my answer about that would be, if you're going to do it, I would prefer doing it in a setting where there's somebody like Jean-Marie Evillard in his gold fund or something, where you've got somebody watching it who
don't
is
own
very
the gold.
Experienced.
Don't possess the gold yourself, is what you're saying.
Yeah. What do you think about that?
No, I don't give investment advice here, but I do believe that it's kind of hard for me to imagine, with all the money that's being created right now and all the deficits and everything, the national debt's unbelievable right now. Yep. I do believe that we're looking at inflation in the future quite a bit.
I agree with you about that. That's why the portfolio has to have something that you can spend this minute, and then it has to have some kind of growth.
Right.
Wherever you want to get it from.
Penelope, last thoughts. 1 minute.
Last thought is, yes, it seems very dark and frightening right now. We're going to recover from this. We just need to, each of us, be more disciplined in our own spending, and we're going to all as a country come out.
Well, and eventually, I mean, as we all know, eventually washing machines break, cars wear out, tires wear out.
Right.
Eventually, the normal demand of 300 million people is going to get the economy going again, isn't it?
Absolutely will.
Yeah.
We're going to be able to do that. It's just that it's very frightening right now while we're still having unemployment figures go up. And yet, these unemployment figures, as sad as it is for each individual who's hurt, the recession of 81, 82 was 10.8. It's only at 7 now.
Yeah.
So we've gone through it. We've recovered. We will recover.
Yeah. The one in the mid-70s was just as bad as that one in the early 80s, too. I was there, too. Hey, Penelope, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Delightful to talk with you, Jim. Take care.
Dr. Penelope Shugross, ladies and gentlemen, and her book is called Wealthy Choices. I'm going to be right back with our good friend Stephen Moore right after these messages. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us.
And Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.